Well, I just saw at the children's message, Nicholas's big sister come up for the message. And Nicholas is in the very back row there on the floor. He was baptized yesterday. And so this is his first worship service today as a baptized child of God. So welcome, Nicholas. And Nicholas was special because his baptism was broadcast in Texas and Florida and in Europe. And so he's an international man already at such a young age. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great Trinitarian work on our lives, just as you worked in Nicholas's life yesterday, as you baptize us in your name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we pray today that we may rejoice in your goodness and our being the recipients of your good and gracious work on our behalf. We thank you, Lord, that you have closed the distance between sinners like us and your holiness, that you have absolved us and brought us near to your Son, brought us near to your own heart. Lord, help us, as we heard in the children's message, to be a people who proclaim this great news to those in our lives that you have placed around us. Help us to share the eternal hope that you have given each and every one of us this day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning we celebrate the Trinity. It's always the Sunday after Pentecost, and it is indeed one of the biggest, greatest mysteries of the church. There have been many fights, many debates, and many councils over the Trinity and what it is and what it isn't, and we have tried to do our best to describe through different analogies what the Trinity is like in its persons and in its inner workings, though we often see that we can fall short as we try to do this. One such example that is very often used to try to describe the Trinity to young children is the use of water. And we say that water can be liquid, and then water can be frozen, and then water can be heated up and it becomes steam. Yet in all these different ways, it is still what? Water. But here's where that analogy breaks down, is that water is never liquid, steam, and ice all at the same time. It helps a little bit to try to understand the Trinity, but not completely. Another example very often used with children is that of an apple. You have the outer peel of the apple. You have the inner core of the apple. You have the middle fleshy part of the apple, the part that most everybody likes to eat, right? You have three parts and how many apples? One apple, right? But even this falls a little bit short, right? Because the skin of the apple isn't the inner core of the apple, and the inner core isn't the meaty part of the apple. And as we talk about the Trinity, right, it's not that the Father is only part God, or the Son is only part God, or the Holy Spirit is only part God, as if the Father's one third, the Son is one third, and the Holy Spirit is another third, comprising the whole of the Trinity. You see how complicated and how quick we get into issues when we try to describe the Trinity? Part of it is because this part of the Trinity is really beyond our comprehension. We do our best to describe it. We do our best to catechize people about the Trinity. We do all that we can in this area, but we come to the conclusion pretty quickly and with every example that this aspect, this mystery of the Trinity is beyond our ability to completely articulate it in all of its fullness. They often say that Trinity Sunday is the preacher's nightmare. But I don't believe that to be the case, because the Trinity is not only beyond us, but the Trinity is most certainly with us. As we turn our attention to the gospel reading, the very last verses that Pastor Bray read from our Lord Jesus was Jesus saying that I will be with you always to what? To the very end of the age. And with this promise, everything changes for you and me. The God who is beyond us, too distant, too big for us to comprehend, becomes the God that we come to know in the person of Jesus Christ, who is with us and promises to walk alongside us all the days of our life. In Matthew chapter 1, right at the very beginning, as we read the very last chapter of Matthew, we hear that the Father sent the Son, and the Son is conceived of the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and then after his birth, he is held in the arms of his mother. God has come into our humanity. The one who was beyond all understanding has become human and has dwelt among us. 30 years later, after the birth of Jesus, Jesus himself would step into the waters of the Jordan River, answering the call of baptism by John the Baptist. And almost all of us, when we celebrate that Sunday, we begin to wonder, why is Jesus, a sinless person, stepping into the waters of the Jordan to be baptized? And quickly we see the answer is that Jesus steps into the waters of baptism so that he might stand with us and be counted among us as a human, that he might also in some ways stand in place of us before the Father. And only 3 years after he gives us the sign of his standing in solidarity with sinners like us, there he is hanging on the cross, taking on anything and everything that would create a distance between you and God, bearing your sin, my sin, suffering the sorrows of death that we might not have to be stung by it, facing the threatening flames of hell that he can even descend into hell and proclaim victory, a victory that he gives to people like you and people like me so that we don't fear that eternity in hell without him being with us. Yes, God is beyond us, but he is also with us in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. And he's with us, forgiving us. He's with us, bringing temporary healing in our life and in this world. He's with us in saving us, sometimes from ourselves. He's with us to breathe new life into us through the forgiveness of sins that he gives. And he promises that he will also return to give us eternity with him and with all of those who believed. The Trinity is beyond us, and yet we see that the Trinity is with us. But even more, the Trinity is in us too. Here's what Jesus says: make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. by the power of the Holy Spirit in us. He works in us through the Scriptures. This is how the Scriptures begin to make sense to us, is because the Holy Spirit in us illuminates the truth. He points to the person of Jesus. And whether you're hearing the word read in the service, whether you're reading the word in your devotion, whether you're hearing the word in a sermon, whether you're hearing the word in a small group, Bible study, or even a podcast, if the word is being taught, the Holy Spirit is at work in you, in your heart, and in your mind, and in your soul, conforming you to the person and life of Jesus Christ, who is God with us. And the Holy Spirit calls and gathers us to this place, brings us to this table, so that we might receive the real body and blood of Jesus. He leads us in faith to this table, that we might over and over and over again receive the benefits of His death and His resurrection for us. So, the question might be, how can we experience for ourselves the Trinity at work in our life? I'm going to give you a real, real simple answer. Take a walk. Take a walk outside. Now, I know we're moving from spring to summer, and a long walk could be miserable, but hey, even when you're sweating under the Texas summer sun, you are experiencing the very work of God the Father in you as sweat comes out of your body to cool your temperature. And if you walk in McKinney on some of these wonderful, beautiful paved roads and paths, you will be running or walking and you will catch one of my favorite smells in the spring and the summer is honeysuckle. Anyone else love that smell? Wow, the honeysuckle and even the pollen every once in a while smells sweet. And when you experience that on your walk, you immediately begin to understand the immensity and the magnitude of creation, a creation of which you are part of, shaped and formed by the Father in your mother's womb. He has given all of this to you that you might enjoy it. And then you keep walking. And you're reminded that the Lord Jesus has walked with me in my life through so many different situations, and He continues to walk with me in situations. I'm reminded that the Lord was with me and alongside me in all the joys that I experienced in life. And even better, it was the Lord Jesus who walked with me when no one else wanted to because of the sin I've committed. He says He will never leave me nor forsake me, and He will not only in my obedience, but He will not leave you or me even in our transgressions. And so I experience the great work of the Father in creation. I celebrate that God has come down to be the person of Jesus with me. And then you keep walking, and verses come to your mind, and all of a sudden you say something like, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will what? Rejoice and be glad in it." Or, as John Closedad read from Psalm 8, verse 3 and 4, "When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him?" The incomprehensible God who is with us and in us is mindful of you. So here's my parting advice. Take a hike. No, that was just fun to say it that way. Take a walk. And I promise you, you will have a fuller, better understanding of the blessing of the Holy Trinity to you. We pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day, a day where the Trinity is celebrated, but a day where we were reminded that the Trinity is always at work in us each and every day of our lives, even as we sleep, Lord. Your hand keeps air moving through our lungs and our heart beating. Until that final day, Lord, when we breathe our last this side of heaven, and on account of Christ crucified and risen, our soul sees the light of your eternal face. Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.